Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, December 1st, with only one day to go, we hear from people on the ground in Cyprus awaiting Pope Francis's arrival. We mark World AIDS Day, calling for an end to inequalities brought on by the disease. And Honduras elects its first ever female president. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis is preparing to set off for Cyprus and Greece, undertaking his 35th apostolic visit abroad from the 2nd to the 6th of December. He is scheduled to arrive in the Cypriot capital Nicosia on Thursday afternoon for the first part of the journey, and then travel to Athens on Saturday morning. The Greek leg of his journey includes a visit to the island of Lesbos, where he will meet with migrants and refugees. Speaking to Vatican media on the eve of the visit, Cardinal Secretary of State Pietro Parolin said the Pope goes as a pilgrim of unity and fraternity. Linda Bordoni tells us more.
Pope Francis will bring the joy of the gospel and the light of hope to Cyprus and Greece, and he will exhort Europe and all humanity to nurture unity and not to abandon those in need. This, in a nutshell, is the aim of Pope Francis's apostolic visit to the two Mediterranean nations, in the words of Cardinal Pietro Parolin. Noting that this pilgrimage is taking him to the origins of the Church.
Si sente pellegrino alle origini della Chiesa.
Because both countries are deeply marked by apostolic itineraries of great spiritual and historical importance, like those of the apostles Barnabas and Paul, the Pope will bring with him the light and hope of Christ and the exhortation to all Mediterranean nations to transform the Mediterranean Sea from a space that divides to an opportunity for encounter. During his time in Cyprus, he added, he will undoubtedly reiterate the Holy See's diplomatic position that encourages a reunification negotiations for the divided island nation. And in Greece, especially with his return to the island of Lesbos, to be with the migrants and asylum seekers awaiting the go-ahead to move on, the Pope will reiterate the concept of us all being in the same boat.
Quando dice siamo in una sola barca.
And he will urge us to sail together.
E qui dice dobbiamo navigare insieme.
As we face urgent issues, including migration, climate change, war, poverty, hunger, and the pandemic, by presenting a common front, a shared multilateral approach. And Parolin concluded, I would say the Pope wants to speak to Europe and invite it to rediscover its roots and find its unity beyond different visions that can coexist. And at the same time, he will speak to the whole of humanity that is called to recognize in the face of the other, the faces of our brothers and sisters. May it be a return to the sources of our humanity, he said, in its truest sense.
Un ritorno alle sorgenti della nostra umanità più vera.
I'm Linda Bordoni.
In Cyprus, the first leg of Pope Francis's journey, Catholics are eagerly awaiting his arrival. Pope Benedict XVI visited the island in 2010. One of those who helped prepare his visit was Ninos Josephides, a Catholic of the Maronite Rite, which numbers around 13,000 in Cyprus. Mr. Josephides spoke to Devon Watkins about Cypriot expectations for Pope Francis's visit and what message they expect to hear from him.
We are in the last stages of the choir rehearsals. The choir is comprised of various nationalities living here in Cyprus, mainly Cypriot Catholic Maronites, Latins, Lebanese Maronites living in Cyprus, and a lot of Catholic workers, mainly from the Philippines, working here in Cyprus. I would say that COVID-19, it's a bad factor in people's psychology for whether to go to the stadium or not, although there are a few thousand that have been registered to go. And I would say that generally there is a good spirit, there is a very sort of warm spirit expecting the Pope to come to see, you know, to listen to his message and to his words.
So the Pope's visit comes just a little over a decade after Pope Benedict's journey in 2010, which you were involved in preparing. What are your memories of that papal visit?
Well, I don't want to compare, but I think this visit is more to give the message for the poor people, for the refugees. And we must not forget that Pope Benedict's visit 10 years ago, it took place in June, the month of June. There was no COVID then, and the weather was much better. Of course, I don't want to compare the two visits. Each one has its own character. But definitely Pope Benedict's visit 10 years ago, we were all excited, all in action. And so it will be this time. Glorious welcome for Pope Francis. And we'll do everything that the visit is successful.
That was Ninos Josephides speaking there to Devin Watkins. Cyprus has been divided since 1974, with the northern third run by a Turkish Cypriot government recognised only by Turkey, and the southern two-thirds controlled by the internationally recognised government led by Greek Cypriots. Apart from the division, the Mediterranean island also has a serious problem with migration. Apostolic Nuncio to Cyprus, Archbishop Tito Yilana, spoke to Vatican News, explaining the significance of the Pope's visits to the Mediterranean island.
First of all, the thing that should be clarified, from my point of view, we are talking here of a country, of a nation, which happens to be in the middle of an ocean, so it's called island. But being an island is number three to being a nation, being a country. And, of course, just like any other country, there are always challenges of unity, because there are divisions and there are people who think otherwise, which, of course, here has cost so many lives. And yet, the visit of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, is one of those elements that will contribute, just like what Pope Benedict XVI has done when he also came almost 11 years ago to this country, Cyprus. And the Holy Father, with his presence, with his words, with the spirit that is seen through his presence, it shows really how people should come together. There are no and should not be differences. We should accept each other and be one people. I mean to say here, I'm not a Cypriot, but one country, one nation that really is a community built on understanding, on giving each other, helping each other, not only among themselves, but being open to the world, to the refugees, to those who are suffering, and find what best we can do, and rather Cyprus can do, or are able to do, to show them that we are one people. Every person affects another person. So this is the concept of really our humanity. And the Holy Father is very strong on this point. And his visit definitely will make it even clearer. Even by just being here already gives that message.
On this World AIDS Day, the community of Sant'Egidio has highlighted its own efforts to assure healthcare for all. Thaddeus Jones tells us more.
The community of Sant'Egidio is working to save Africa's future by fighting inequality in the sphere of healthcare, access to treatments and medicines. Sant'Egidio, a Christian community that brings people together from more than 70 countries globally, dedicates a special outreach to the poor and those living on the margins of society by witnessing to the gospel through charitable commitment and promoting world peace. Echoing Pope Francis' appeal at the Wednesday General Audience on World AIDS Day for a renewed commitment of solidarity to ensure fair and effective health care, Sant'Egidio issued a statement highlighting the work of its DREAM program, which launched in 2002 and is now present in 10 African countries. The project works closely with African women especially, since they represent the fulcrum of the family and society in general. By teaching and sharing a new culture of healthcare through DREAM's 50 clinics, offering the latest diagnostics and treatments for those living with HIV. More than 500,000 persons have been assisted through this program that has facilitated the birth of 120,000 children without HIV, despite being born from HIV-positive mothers. The DREAM program also deals with the COVID-19 pandemic, working to get vaccines out to millions of Africans still waiting for them or unable to access them. Worries are increasing that the door is being shut on Africa due to the latest Omicron COVID variant, which could worsen an already precarious situation marked by lack of COVID vaccines, putting those living with HIV at even higher risk for serious health complications. DREAM has launched an appeal for a fair distribution of vaccines, not only to promote equity and justice, but also since saving Africa means saving everyone. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
The first woman president of Honduras has won the election for the top job. James Blears reports.
Nasri Tito Aswara, the candidate of the National Party, has conceded defeat. So Xiomara Castro, the Libre Party that she helped create, will be the next president of Honduras. In a nationwide broadcast, he congratulated her. Former First Lady Xiomara's victory is the culmination of a remarkable family comeback. Her husband, Manuel Zelaya, was thrown out of office by a coup in 2009. It's a third attempt for the presidency, and she's described it as a charm. Xiomara must now make good on promised change and improvements by combating poverty, drug trafficking by organized crime, street gangs, while creating jobs to stem an exodus of migrant caravans. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken's congratulated her on what he calls an historic victory, saying, "We congratulate Honduras on a high voter turnout, peaceful participation, and active civil society engagement in this election, signaling an enduring commitment to the democratic process. The United States will continue to support Honduras in strengthening its democratic institutions, promoting economic growth, and fighting corruption and transnational crime." The defeated National Party confirms it'll form a constructive opposition and is willing to work with the incoming administration. For Vatican Radio, James Blue is reporting.
And finally, continuing his catechesis, Pope Francis offered couples a reflection on moving beyond the enchantment of falling in love toward a mature love that can stand the test of time. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Pope Francis offered his catechesis at Wednesday's General Audience as a message for all engaged couples, as he reflected on St. Joseph as a just man and the betrothed spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Joseph was just, the Pope said, because when Mary was found with child, he chose to send her away quietly, fulfilling the letter of the law without exposing her to public humiliation. However, in that very moment, an angel appeared to Joseph.
Interviene nel discernimento di Giuseppe la voce di Dio.
As Pope Francis explained, God's voice intervenes in Joseph's discernment. The Pope emphasized the importance for each of us, too, to cultivate a just life and at the same time to recognize the need for God's help to consider the circumstances of life from a broader perspective. Being engaged, Mary and Joseph probably cultivated dreams and expectations for their future, the Pope said. When God intervened unexpectedly in their lives, he also opened up their hearts. In that way, Mary and Joseph can be an example for engaged couples today. Pope Francis acknowledged that life is often not what we imagine it to be, that it can be difficult to move from falling in love to the logic of mature love. The former, he said, is often marked by a kind of enchantment that fades with time. But it is precisely when that first excitement of love ends that true love begins. Pope Francis continued, Christian engaged couples are called to bear witness to a love like this,
sono chiamate a testimoniare un amore così,
that has the courage to move from the logic of falling in love to that of mature love. I'm Christopher Wells.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. Many thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.